Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots. Today is the day, and I can't believe this has snuck up on us, Shannon, but it is officially spooky season. How are you feeling, Shannon?
I'm so excited.
This is your favorite time of the year.
This is my favorite time of the podcast researching calendar.
Yes, and it is here. We have great episodes lined up. But today we are talking about the famous Sleepy Hollow. Spooky. I'm so excited to be talking about this. This is a good scarometer for me. You know, like, okay, I could do this episode. I was active in the research, you know, following along, not getting too scared. But if you guys have been following us for this past year, you guys know that we try to amp up the scariness. So we're really starting off nice and slow. Really for me, and then we're gonna pick it up. So if you're hoping for a scarier story, no worries, we got you. We'll see you the following week.
So the legend of Sleepy Hollow, we all know it. We at least know like the basics: the headless horseman, the pumpkin, the night horse. Ride, the horse. There's a horseman, there's a horse.
Exactly. It's a classic. And so many, I don't want to say like publications or businesses have taken on their own story. Like, I don't know why, but I specifically remember an episode of Hey Arnold talking about Sleepy Hollow. Yeah, there was an episode on that. There was a Disney movie on this. I mean, there's so many plays. There's so many things that people talk about Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, really inspired people to this day. Mm-hmm. So The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was written by Washington Irving, and it was first published in 1819, and it is one of the earliest examples of American fiction that is still popular today. So I was, you know, we haven't dove into Sleepy Hollow, or at least I haven't dove into Sleepy Hollow in many years. We went to see a play in elementary school about it, which is interesting that we saw that. Like, who approved that? I mean, it's not terrifying, but it's still,
I was scared. I remember being scared. I'm like, wow, this feels very adult of us.
Yeah,
this seems really too scary for us kids, but I guess they thought it wasn't scary, but it was scary. I don't know, it's a frightening story.
I remember liking it.
Of course you did. I remember being able to handle the play, but it was just a lot to take in. And, you know, essentially you're just, it's kind of like campfire, you know, you're telling a story, but you're just forcing children to see this and to talk about a scary story.
I mean, it clearly left an impression if both of us remember it from the third grade. So whether you liked it or not, it left an impression.
Yes, it's so true.
So in that regard, I kind of forgot that I couldn't tell you prior to last week if Sleepy Hollow was in America or if it was in England, which I know is dumb now, but because it's very much an England or American tale.
Yeah.
But to be fair, he was in Europe for most of the time that he was writing this. So I wasn't completely off base.
Even for me, I don't remember the story of how it all led up, other than I feel like just the ending. Like, this guy, he sees the headless horseman, he's on the horse, he's being chased down. How did he get there? And today we're gonna talk about that.
Right. So I downloaded the Audible book of the story, and I listened to it this weekend while I was on a canoe camping trip. And that was really interesting because, well, we started listening. I got a little spooked. It's not really scary. Like, it's not, the story itself is fine. It's kind of funny in parts. It's kind of weird in parts, but it put me to sleep first in the car ride up.
It was so soothing.
It's just like he really drags out, and I just want to know about the Headless Horseman, and he just kind of like drags out the whole village description, which was written well. It just put me to sleep. So we paused it, tried it again the next night around the campfire.
Ooh, the spooky vibes.
Yeah, so it was really spooky to listen to it around the campfire. And once it got into the more scary bit, the last flame of the fire went out.
Stop.
I am not lying. And then it was just the embers were there, and we both looked at each other like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Did you freak out? Or were you like, whoa?
I wasn't freaking out, but I do have to say, when I got into the tent, I was a little spooked. Like, why did we do that?
The timing, though, that's just so crazy.
I know, right? So first off, we're just going to do a synopsis of what happens in the story. Just kind of like a, what's it called? Spark Notes? Spark Notes version. It was an hour and a half audiobook. I don't know how many pages that translates, but we're just going to sum it up in a few bullet points. So Sleepy Hollow is set in 1790 along the Hudson River in New York. And it is actually a real place. You can see Sleepy Hollow on the map. It's, I think, like 20 or 30 miles from New York City. And back in 1820 when he wrote it, but again, the story itself is set in 1790. It was a dreamy place of a lot of beauty, but it was also thick with lore and supernatural occurrences and mysteries. And the people that were there were really superstitious, and they talked about ghosts a lot, and they had a lot of different ghost stories, one of which being the Headless Horseman. Now, the protagonist, the main character, he is Ichabod Crane. Interesting name, first and foremost.
Very interesting name.
We'll get into it later, why he's named that. But I think that's probably the only person you would know named Ichabod.
Yeah, I mean, I told Shannon I had to literally look it up. How do I pronounce this man's name?
And I'm glad I listened to the audiobook, because I didn't, you know, it was told to me. So Ichabod Crane is from Connecticut, and he arrives in Sleepy Hollow as the schoolmaster. He's extremely superstitious and actually even has a book on witchcraft. And I'm not sure if it was clear if he was just like reading it as a, like just reading it, or if he practiced witchcraft. It didn't really allude to it or not. Just kind of said that he, in his possession, had this witchcraft book.
Yeah, I feel like you're superstitious. You might have like a little sprinkle of,
you need to know
witchcraft. Yeah.
You need to know how the enemy works, I guess.
Exactly.
So Ichabod falls in love with, and I put that in quotes, falls in love. He, quote unquote, falls in love with the local wealthy Dutch farmer's 18-year-old daughter, Katrina Van Tassel. And I would like to point out that we do not know how old Ichabod is. I think they alluded to him being a young schoolmaster, but we do not have an age.
Thank you so much, Shannon.
So I'm going to hope that he was like no older than 33, and then we'll be okay. That's not great, but okay range. If you look at some art, there's a wide differences in how he's portrayed in different drawings and paintings. Some of them, he's very old. So this could be bad. But alas,
we're going to put it in the fair range.
We're going to be okay.
Yeah. We're going to let it slide, but we're concerned.
We will let it slide. We're keeping an eye on it.
But we're keeping an eye, yeah.
So he, quote unquote, falls in love with her. But basically, he literally, the descriptors of her are that she's beautiful and as plump as a partridge. Uncomfortable. Like, I've never heard anybody being described that way, but I don't like it.
And yeah, it's just, is that how they talked, you know, in the late 1700s?
I guess. And her cheeks were the same color as her father's peaches. Like, I don't like that either.
Yeah, I'm not enjoying that.
But basically, her father was very, very wealthy, and she was the only child, so she would inherit all this wealth, and she was also beautiful. So everybody was vying for her hand in marriage, including Ichabod. So his biggest competitor is a guy whose nickname is Brom Bones, who is basically a big bully. And Alina, I have to say, I'm really, really proud of myself because when I was listening to it, I was like, this guy is like Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. And then I was looking up, just researching Sleepy Hollow some more after the fact. And they said that he was the inspiration for Gaston.
Stop. Because he gave me Gaston vibes too.
Right?
Oh my God. And like kind of the story makes sense. It's like this girl.
Yeah. Yep. You know, trying to get the hand of marriage.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Wow. It comes together.
So picture Gaston. He's big. He's strong. He's a big bully. He's obnoxious. He has a lot of confidence and not in a good way. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, okay, like half the book or half the story, maybe even more. Yeah, probably more, is all of this. This chunk that we just did, that's yeah. Most of the book.
The part we just summed up in a couple minutes.
That's most of it. But we get into it. So one night, Ichabod is invited to a big party at Katrina's house. Everybody's there, everybody in the village. And he describes all the different kinds of foods that were there, all the different pastries. Sounds amazing. But then he walks over to these people. I think they were all like older people that were telling ghost stories. And Ichabod listens to the ghost stories. One of which being the Headless Horseman, who was thought to be a Hessian soldier. And I didn't know what that meant. So I looked it up and it was a German soldier who fought for the British in the Revolutionary War.
Ooh, interesting.
So the story goes that he was the soldier who lost his head during the war. And then he was buried, but he rides around until he reaches the church cemetery in the town that he was buried at. People have stories of being chased by him. Somebody has a story of actually being attacked by him and pushed off his horse. But at the end of the party, everybody trickles out of the house. Ichabod stays behind and he's the only one there. And so we don't really know. Oh, is he asking for her hand in marriage? What's going to happen? We don't know. Washington Irving keeps it ambiguous. Because all we know is that Ichabod is seen fleeing the house, grabbing his old horse. And you got to feel bad for this old horse because he describes this horse awfully. This horse is old. This horse is gray. The hair and the mane and tail are matted and all the hair is like twisted up. He has one blind eye.
Stop. Oh my God.
This is not a steed, you know?
That's going up against this headless horseman. Oh my God.
And they said something like, well, he must have been good in his young years because his name is Gunpowder, but he's old.
He's seen a lot of things, you know, by that point.
He has seen a lot. So Ichabod goes and takes Gunpowder and he rides off, and it's dark out because it's kind of cool because on his ride to the party, he's describing the whole area as being beautiful and it's harvest time and golden hour and wow, wow, wow. But then when he leaves, it's dark and now it's eerie and now it's scary and now it's spooky. So we can infer that Katrina kind of told him off because why would he be riding away that fast?
She didn't want a gold digger.
She didn't want him. She didn't want the schoolmaster. Maybe he is too old. We don't know. So he comes to a bridge and Gunpowder is scared, will not go across the bridge. And then a big hulking figure on horseback appears on it. And Ichabod is terrified and he doesn't know who it is. But then the figure steps into the moonlight and he can see that it has no head. Gasp. So Ichabod rides in a panic, but the headless horseman keeps pace with him. So he slows down, hoping that the headless horseman will just go by him. The horseman slows down too. He speeds up because he thinks he can pass him. The horseman speeds up. He's not letting him go. And this is when he notices that the head of the Headless Horseman is on the pommel of the saddle. Terrifying.
Yikes.
And they're riding through the woods in terror. Ichabod almost makes it to the churchyard, but his saddle snaps off. And then he's riding bareback on poor Gunpowder. And Gunpowder doesn't know where to go. Gunpowder's slow.
Gunpowder is half blind trying to go through the night.
Very much half blind. And then the Headless Horseman throws something at him and knocks him off Gunpowder. And the next morning, Gunpowder is found, but not Ichabod. And the locals find his broken saddle and a smashed pumpkin, but no Ichabod. And he was never seen or heard from again.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it's left up to the reader, because at the very end, they go into Ichabod is never seen again, but basically Gaston from Bones. Every time Ichabod is brought up, he has this kind of knowing look on his face. And whenever somebody brings up the pumpkin, he starts laughing. And he actually does end up marrying Katrina. They said that Ichabod, they weren't sure if he was spirited away. They don't know if he died. They don't know if he ran away. But they do know that, sure, all of his possessions, including Gunpowder, were left behind. However, he did get paid recently for his quarter of the year or whatever. So he would have on his person enough money to kind of get away and go someplace. So it's kind of left up to the reader to decide if you think that the Headless Horseman was Brom Bones and scared off Ichabod, or if it was the Headless Horseman ghost that scared him off.
Interesting. So where's your tinfoil hat? Because I also saw that some people think that he left town and made it out successfully and made a life of his own. Right. So do you think that could be a thing, and that, you know, what was left if he did indeed die, that some people think that that schoolhouse became haunted and the bridge became haunted because there was no more school teacher and it was just left abandoned?
My heart wants to say that it was the Headless Horseman for real, but my brain is saying it's Brom Bones. But I'm gonna stay on the whimsical side and say that it was the Headless Horseman, even though my brain is like, no, she knows, probably just Brom Bones. Let's just believe in some magic.
It makes me feel like we need to pull out the board game Clue. Like, where was Brom Bones at the night of the party? You know,
I think he was there.
I want to say he was there too, right?
I think he was. So I think, like, basically everybody was there.
Did he sneak out? Did anybody see him leave? Did anybody wonder where was Brom Bones?
The thing is, Ichabod stayed late, so everybody did leave. So there would be enough time for him to get to the bridge before Ichabod.
What if Brom Bones was like, hey guys, let's all go to the pub down the street, but then he didn't show up at the pub? I wonder.
Well, now you're just making up facts, Selena.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like the game of Clue. Like, where did you go? I now need to do what's a his full alibi? On. Exactly. I need to know what his alibi is, because I have a full investigation. But I agree with you. In the spirit of the story, my tinfoil hat is with the Headless Horseman.
Okay, cool.
Do you think he made it out alive, though? Or do you think he truly died on the ride?
I think he made it out alive, because I think his ghost would have been more well known if he hadn't. But it's still the Headless Horseman, you know?
Like, right. On top. Like, he's the famous one.
Right. He just left Gunpowder and he took his school money and ran off.
Do you think that's where J.K. Rowling got the inspo for, is it Nicholas?
Nicholas Flamel?
No, maybe it's not Nicholas, but the guy who's
Nearly Headless Nick.
Maybe it was never the Headless Horseman, it was always him.
It was always Nearly Headless Nick.
Now that we've chatted, this story gets crazier. No, I'm just kidding. There is some background information that we need to go over, though. But before we do, we're going to take a minute to listen to our sponsor. And we are back. So let's dive in on the story, because there's actually some interesting factoids about the Headless Horseman. So Washington Irving, the author, liked to name the characters after people he met in real life. So the guy, Ichabod Crane, was actually a real life person. And he was a colonel of the War of 1812 that Irving met in 1814. So this is a real deal guy. Actually, now that we're talking about J.K. Rowling, it's like very much her vibe, where she went to like the cemetery and like there are certain names from the books that are actually real people that she used as real character. So it's like very same vibe. And the name Ichabod is actually a Hebrew name meaning without glory.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that without glory, because he didn't really have any glory, you know, by the end of it, he definitely was lost.
He's not famous, this guy. Like, I don't remember him as a character. The Headless Horseman is the main guy, but also he lost. We don't know what happened to him.
I just feel bad for the actual guy that's named Ichabod Crane. I mean, it has a kind of a nice ring to it, Ichabod Crane.
But it does.
To grow up knowing that your name means without glory is a little rough.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Maybe that's why I didn't become the popular top 10 baby names, you know?
Yeah. Nickname is Icky.
Ooh. Poor guy. So the actual character himself may have been inspired by his friend Jesse Merwin, who was from Connecticut, and he became a schoolmaster in New York. And they became friends in 1809, and they were pen pals for 30 years. How cute is that?
So cute.
Yeah, so we're kind of getting like that inspiration for who is Ichabod Crane.
I want a friend to write a popular book with me as a character.
I agree.
Even if I
happen.
Even if I have no glory at the end.
Well, if I ever write a fictional book, I'll keep Shannon in mind.
Oh, thank you.
And the lovely young lady, Katrina Van Tassel, which also is another fabulous name.
I know.
Yeah, was a real person too that Irving had met while staying with her family for a short period of time. And we love a little bit of a consent time where he asked if he could use her name and her general description for his story.
Which, that's great. Love that. Cool. But it still weirds me out that he called her plump as a partridge.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know if she got that like edit part, but
she's like, but what's my description?
Exactly. I don't know who okayed it, but. And, you know, going into the next main character, we have the Headless Horseman, and he may have been based on the fact that there was said to be a Hessian soldier who lost his head to a cannonball during the Battle of White Plains around Halloween in 1776 and was buried by the Van Tassel family in the old Dutch churchyard in Sleepy Hollow.
Crazy. Wow. The old Dutch church is an actual church in Sleepy Hollow. You can go to it on Google Maps. I did. And yeah, you can see it. I didn't think it would be an actual, I mean, it's not shocking to me that Sleepy Hollow is a real place, but even the church.
Wild. And Irving knew about Sleepy Hollow because when he was a teenager, he was actually sent there from New York City to avoid a big outbreak of yellow fever. Because, you know, the city is just not the cleanest place to be. And from there, he learned all about the ghost stories of the area. So this definitely inspired him to tell the tale of Sleepy Hollow, which also going in the theme of names, just the fact that this town is called Sleepy Hollow and there's like a spookiness to it, it just makes sense.
I kind of want to go there. I've been to Salem, you know, but I feel like Sleepy Hollow is probably the next, right?
Would that be I think so. I feel like that's the next appropriate step.
Right.
You definitely should go. You should go next month.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Woo! Or this month when you're hearing this.
Alrighty. So the Headless Horseman story was not necessarily the most original idea and story ever. So there has been a historical reference to the Irish and Dutch folklore of Dullahan and or Gan Cian. And I'm so sorry to my Irish followers, like I probably butchered that so poorly. So the Dullahan is the headless horseman who lost his head in a battle, and he is riding on a black horse, sometimes also without a head, or is driving a carriage pulled by black or six black horses. So we have a full posse out here.
I don't know if you've ever watched Lord of the Rings.
Mm-mm.
No, okay, never mind. There are these really scary black horses in the first one that I watched when I was too young, and they definitely scared me. And I don't know I don't know any of the actual terminology from Lord of the Rings, but there's some scary, witchy, dark horses.
Ooh, and that's, interesting.
Reminds me of it.
Come Maybe on. It did get inspo from this.
Maybe.
Well, apparently he rides with the head in his hand as it glows and uses it as a lantern. So this is his guiding light, this freaky thing that's glowing. And he rides so quickly that fire emits from the horse's nostrils and hooves. Okay, this is actually more of the story that I think the episode of Hey Arnold is more like. Yeah, definitely more of like this vibe. And the carriage that some believe he rides is made of coffins, tombstones, and bones.
Yikes.
Super spooky. And the guy, he wears a long black cloak that flows behind him as he rides through the lands, and he is known to hold his severed head high in the sky in search for the souls that he wishes to take. His severed head has a terrible appearance, covering in rotting flesh that gives off the strong odor of rotting cheese and with the complexion of stale dough.
Gross.
That is a description. And if you look at him immediately, you will be blinded. So don't do it. And he does this by whipping their eyes with a whip made out of human spine.
Yes. Great.
Or by throwing blood at your face.
Yeah, I mean, when I first read that, I just thought, you know, you look at him and you're blinded. You know, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's just boom, boom. There you go. But then it just carries on by whipping your eyes from a human spine or by throwing blood in your face. Like, oh, cool, 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 cool. Nice.
Right, right, right. Okay. Like if one wasn't enough, let's just keep going, you know?
Right, right. And this blindness is going to be painful. It's not going to be a swift little turn of the switch.
Exactly. And this is the key, people. So the only way to scare him off is by throwing precious metal in his path. But it's like, so you're supposed to carry this all the time, you know?
Yeah, you have to carry gold on you. And then apparently.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. And he is said to be the embodiment of the Celtic god Crom Dubh.
Sure.
Yes. He gives me like Hades vibes, you know, kind of like an underworld type thing. And, you know, he comes and just kind of like kills off people. And I feel like, you know, these Greek mythologies, maybe this Irish folklore, it seems a little crazy, but I think it does a good job at explaining weird things that happen to people who die suddenly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so this could be the guy and he just kind of explains that. But, you know, what happens when you die suddenly? You go through this really scary process.
Great.
Ay-ay-ay.
Yeah, so Washington Irving could have definitely been influenced by that folklore. Certainly. Mm-hmm. Especially, and I mean, the Headless Horseman was a actual ghost story that he heard when he spent his time in Sleepy Hollow. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of Dutch settlers there, so it would make sense if a Dutch folklore cropped up there as well.
Exactly. There's also another Irish variation, and this is written by a guy named Thomas Crocker, and he wrote about a character named Charlie Chulainn. Sorry again. In the story, he talks about coming across the Headless Horseman, but instead of a black horse, it's actually a white one. And I don't know why, but this is giving me flashbacks of our Denver airport episode with like the stallion. Yeah, so it's giving me that vibe. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. Charlie, the character, was scared, but he decided to be polite to the horseman. So Charlie ends up, you know, doing a different tactic. And he asked the horseman if he's ever raced across the countryside. And he's like, no. And they end up racing. And so he loses, but the horseman actually commends him on his bravery because no one had ever done that before. Like, out of all the years that he's been dead, no one's ever wanted to race him. And he said, if you continue being brave, then he'll show up when he needs them the most.
How sweet. All he wanted was a friend.
All he did. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, go on a race, little competition.
Yeah, little fun. I just wanted a friend and everybody runs away from him. It's like,
woo. Exactly. And so it's interesting with these folklore type stories where there's some sort of meaning. Is this a story talking about bravery? Or is like, is this a story about warning and don't be going off by yourself in the scary woods?
Yeah, don't go out at night.
Yep. Which is very interesting. But it's like all these different variations of very similar characters and how it just translates over, you know, to different places across the world.
Right. So that's kind of the backstory of the Sleepy Hollow legend that we all know and love. I wanted to end on a few interesting facts. As I was doing, you know, how I occasionally do a Google Maps little tour of places that we're researching, I went to the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery via Google. And you know who's in that cemetery?
Who?
As I, you know, like it shows the little points of interest on the maps. And first it was, you know, Washington Irving is buried there, which is cool. Like, that's nice.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know,
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, he wrote a lot of different things, but so he could have been buried in a lot of different places. But obviously it's cool that he's in Sleepy Hollow Cemetery.
Right, right.
And it's a really, I don't know, simple. It's not a big tombstone or anything. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. But another point of interest on the map was Andrew Carnegie's buried there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing there?
I know. Did he live there? I didn't look into it, but he's buried there.
Right, right.
Which I thought was interesting. And then also William A. Rockefeller, which is the brother to John D. Rockefeller.
That's so freaky. It's just like, why are these two guys? I mean, I know William didn't necessarily create all the pipelines and whatnot of John D. Rockefeller, but still, just being a brother. What are these two guys who helped build America doing in Sleepy Hollow?
Right. I wonder if it was just a nice kind of suburb area outside of New York City that you retired at?
Yeah, like, is that where all the rich people go to? Because Rockefeller was from, we talked about this, Ohio, right?
I don't remember
either. Well, Rockefeller is definitely not from New York, from what I remember when we did our podcast. And I also want to say Carnegie is not from New York.
So Carnegie's from Scotland. But he lived
in Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, definitely I don't remember learning about them hanging out in Sleepy Hollow. Like, enough to that's where they want to get buried.
Yeah. But that was just a little fun facts about the town.
Interesting. So that concludes our first episode of Spooky Season. So as you all know, we will not see you next week, but the week after. We have on a bi-weekly schedule. So get ready for episode number 2 of Spooky Season, because this is only going to be, we're going up the notches in spookiness.
That's right. We hope you enjoyed this synopsis and kind of deep dive into one of America's earliest ghost stories. Mm-hmm. And yeah, hope to see you next time.
That's right. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at BareRootsPod, BARE. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.